The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, let's change the conversation to the Atlanta Hawks, who are a team that fans just keep being like, oh, when are they going to make a move? When are they going to make a move? As if making a big trade a week ago is not a big move. We're going to go to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Glenn Willis of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as he's a contributor for Peachtree Hoops. Glenn, how are you doing on this July 4th?
I'm good. Yeah, we're in the dead period before this NBA moratorium ends, and everybody's waiting for tomorrow night, I think, to see what else might happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things as we kind of, you know, ramp up for Summer League to come. I know, you know, fans get in the you want to see moves, exciting moves. But like I said, we are not long removed from, even though I know it's not official yet, but the DeJounte Murray trade to the Pelicans. Now that we have seen, you know, the results that have come out of this thing, Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance Jr., EJ Liddell, 2025 Lakers first-round pick, 2027 first-round pick. Glenn, where do you kind of feel as to how the Hawks fared in this trade?
I mean, I think they did well. I mean, DeJounte Murray is a good player. But I mean, the statistical baseline, if even if we just go with that, you know, he and Trey were not performing – I think the way that they had hoped together.
Sure.
There's a lot of overlap in their skills, even though they played the point guard position a little differently than the other does. But it wasn't quite resulting in sort of the offensive outcome I think that was hoped for. And then you end up with two guards that are a little on the smaller side defensively too. So there are a lot of challenges I think that were a bit expected, but maybe were bigger challenges than were, you know, originally envisioned. So I think it was smart to kind of go ahead and move on. I think the return they got was good. I think, you know, Dyson Daniels is an up and coming defender in the league. And if you kind of look across the roster now coming out of the draft, out of the trade, Dyson Daniels, age 21, 6'8", Zachary Richesh, age 19, 6'9", Jalen Johnson, 6'9", age 22, Kobe Bufkin, a guard, 6'4", age 20. So they have a lot, you know, one of their biggest issues defensively last year, they just didn't have enough size. And when you look at the young guys with defensive size, they're starting to kind of add into this roster. I think that's really addressing maybe their biggest issue last year.
Yeah, Glenn, you know, it's funny to me that I had heard some talk amongst fans after the trade went down that the focus being on Dyson Daniels and that, oh man, well, this is a guy who's really got to improve his shooting. But it's funny because, you know, you go from, all right, you had the offensive elements, but you didn't have enough defense. And now you address defense and you're worried about not having enough offense. Do you think the offensive game that Dyson has right now is enough to be a concern, or do you think the defensive elements that he's going to bring with his size and his point of attack defending is going to be enough to make up for that and make it a non-issue?
So I think fans that question the offense are reasonable to do that, right? So he was like a 38% shooter from on threes from the corner last year. But I think what's underappreciated is his ball handling pretty strong. His passing really strong. His play in transition is strong. And so, you know, I think a lot of us.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, Couches, Stories, Grandma's Secret Pecan Pie Recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's Family Carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Think when you're building lineups around Trey, you need shooting, shooting, shooting. And that's true. And that's not a strength of his right now. So I think when we reflect on how Quinn wants his team to play, the way he wants them to play, as he calls it, on the catch, make a decision on the catch within half a second to shoot, attack the closeout, attack the paint, kick, pass it. And Daniels is wired for fast processing and fast decision making, even if the shooting need some improvement there. So a lot of, I think if we over-fixate on the shooting, you see the issue. But some of the other things that Quinn wants his wings and off-ball players to do on offense, a lot of that is already wired into the way he plays.
Talking with Glenn Willis on the WaitFor.com hotline, Glenn of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as the Petrie Hoops contributor. You can follow him on social media at Willis_Glenn. Look, it seems like the Hawks right now, limited cap space, you know, until they're going to hit that luxury tax threshold. There's been discussions of if they're going to continue to upgrade this team currently, if they kind of just ride it out. One of the names that I have seen you amongst, you know, discussion with as a potential sign and trade option being DeMar DeRozan. Are you in on that being a viable option for the Hawks to go out and get, or do you think, you know, potentially that's a move the Hawks stay away from?
Well, so I think he'd be a really interesting fit for the Hawks. Now, Hawks fans that like are trying to like, hey, let's shoot higher, right? I think they may not have a full appreciation for kind of where the Hawks are in terms of their cap sheet. I know you had Keith Smith on in the last hour, and he could do a way better job than me explaining the maneuvering that has to happen around that. So to be able to do a sign and trade with DeRozan, first of all, DeRozan would have to pick the Hawks, and I have no idea what the likelihood of that is. I've seen nothing, I've heard nothing around that. The other thing is the Hawks would have to maneuver down below the first apron to be able to be under the first apron after making that move. So that's probably trading two players that are making real money as a starting point. Maybe that's Hunter, maybe that's Capella, maybe that's someone else. But it would take some work to do that. But for me, losing DeJounte and then finding a replacement while you're grooming Richaud to play at the three down the road, DeRozan coming in, playing that position, his ability to play with force, his efficiency as a scorer, his ability to play off of Trey. I think, again, if you go into a lab and design the perfect guy, is DeRozan the perfect guy? No, but where the Hawks are financially, you can't go seek the perfect guy. But he brings a lot of stuff. For example, DeJounte being smaller didn't finish at the rim at a super high level. DeRozan does, right? And so you just get a bigger guy, a more forceful offensive player. I think it would work quite well, but it starts with DeRozan saying, okay, that's somewhere I'd be open to playing.
Sure. How much does the fact of you'd have to sign him to a multi-year deal, probably what we're talking 3-4 years, I'd have to imagine the $20 million range, how much of that combined with the fact that he is, what, going to be 35 or is 35, does that factor into the Hawks' decisions?
Yeah, so, again, a lot of this goes back to what DeRozan wants. So that they would, in a sign-and-trade, has to be a 3-year deal, but only the first year has to be guaranteed. And if you read the reporting, it sounds like DeRozan might want to get back on the market in 1 year. So if the Hawks, you know, offer, okay, you know, 3 years, second and third year kind of an option that can get him back on the market, that I think that's one way the Hawks might be able to attract him. there if that's something that they want to do. So there's a little bit more flexibility there than just an outright fully guaranteed 3-year deal. And again, the big thing is if he wants to get back on the market next summer because he's not getting the contract he wants this summer, that might help the Hawks a little bit there.
Glenn, it feels like the stock on Onyeka Okongwu is pretty low coming off a bit of a disappointing season, having the toe injury, you know, top all of that as well. Are you someone who's still a believer in Onyeka and his contributions to this team? Do you think that can kind of step up this year, or is he potentially a guy who is looking, you know, to be on his way out of the city?
So I'm still a believer, especially in the offense. I do think there's quite a bit he needs to clean up defensively. And then that's a long conversation we don't have to talk
about today.
But offensively, his ability to handle, pass, self-create, his ability to drive the ball, opposing centers really just can't keep him generally in front. But there's a question, like, how much with Trae Young on your team, how much do you want to lean into playing through a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, who's very skilled offensively for a center? And that's something like only Quinn really knows how comfortable he is tilting the offense towards him having more usage, right? So I believe the offensive package is pretty unique. On defense, I think putting bigger guys at the 2, the 3, and the 4 will help him be more successful defensively. And I think that's an important thing that they're constructing. For me, I may have even told you last time we talked, whether the Hawks go with the center in the draft or not tells me a lot about how they feel about Okongwu. Them choosing Ricochet tells me potentially they really do believe in him as their long-term starter, but they want to build a lineup with more defensive length around him, more rebounding around him to set him up for more success defensively. So, I could look foolish in 48 hours if he's in a trade, you know, but for me, I think the Ricochet pick makes me think that they're pretty bullish on him, but that they want a different lineup construction to set him up for success.
Yeah, no, it certainly is one of those, just because he hasn't been a part of a deal so far makes you think that it is certainly possible that they see long-term goals in him. Now, Glenn, someone that at least for the immediate future, they declined to bring him back for the moment, allowing him to be an unrestricted free agent, is Sadiq Bey. Do you see him as being someone that is still in the Hawks' plans, or was, you know, declining that option for him just kind of a sign that he's on his way out, as he's got this upcoming season where he's going to be rehabbing and you don't really know how much of the season he's going to be able to play?
Yeah, that is such a tough one, because for me, I, when you're coming back from an injury, maybe being in a familiar setting, like coming back to the same setting you were in last year, working with this, and I know the Hawks have had some turnover in their training and health staff, so I don't know how much that means, but I mean, part of it just might be like, does he want to kind of stay somewhere that's familiar to him just to do all the work of this rehab, or does he just want to go somewhere that will tell him, hey, when you're ready to go in February or whenever it is, we're going to commit to playing you, right? And I would have to think a guy who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, presumably if he's on a short-term deal, could be an unrestricted free agent a year from now. He want to go somewhere where they're committing playing time to him. Can the Hawks do that the way they're building their roster? That might be pretty hard for them to make that commitment. Going to, say, a team that's younger and rebuilding and wants a veteran to kind of step in to that lineup spot, my guess is he might want to go somewhere that where playing time commitment is the priority.
No, that makes a lot of sense. All right, final one for you, Glenn. Realistic expectations for Zachary Ricochet early on. I know I've been asked by a few different people about this, and it feels kind of a difficult one to define, but what are you expecting realistically from Zachary Ricochet early on through Summer League and then as the season begins?
You know, I'm excited. I'll be there for their first 2 games in Summer League, sitting in my sauna like 14 hours a day trying to get ready for that heat. But I'm excited to see him up, you know, in person. For me, I think development should be the priority for the whole first season that he has. I know there's debates about should he start, should he not start. Oh, a first overall pick automatically should be a starter. I actually don't think that's necessarily the case here. I think it's fine if he is a starter, if he shows he can kind of handle that responsibility. But for me, I just want to see them invest in his development and let him kind of ease into the responsibilities that come along. And I want them to deprioritize the optics of him being the first pick and not really worry about that. Because, I mean, if he doesn't start, people will say stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's not playing a ton of minutes, people will say stuff. But I don't think that you want to manage your plan to what people are going to say about what you're doing or not doing. So I hope they ease him in. And I think he's going to have a kind of a typical rookie season, but I think, you know, year two, year three, that he could really give them a lot.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That is Glenn Willis of the ATL and 29 podcast. Give him a follow on social media at @Willis_Glenn. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this 4th of July.
Always enjoy talking with you, Cade.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.